Returning this morning to Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. God is a fair judge. We know he's a fair judge. We know he is righteous. And we know he is true. And Rav Shaul has just begun to teach us through the first chapter of Romans that God is a fair judge. And he has begun to teach us about the plan that God has to draw the nations to himself, to bring righteousness to this world and fairness to all those who will turn to him. And God is dealing, and Rav Shaul is speaking about how God is dealing with both Jew and Gentile in a fair, righteous, and honorable way. We have seen in Romans chapter 1 and 16 that the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And Rav Shaul is going to unpack this theme as he goes throughout Romans in such a systematic way that I would argue that you cannot properly understand Romans without properly grasping the fact that Paul, Rav Shaul, is seeking to help us to understand the relationship between Jew and Gentile in God's plan, not only for the city of Rome, whom he's writing to, but for all the world and for all time. And so we're going to look at Romans chapter 2 as we continue in this story. Yesterday, when I arrived in Seattle, I flipped open my phone and started looking at Facebook while I was waiting to go through customs. And the Facebook from the British Messianic Believers, they have a special page that they keep to themselves, was all alight about what had happened while I was on the airplane. And we all know what a terrible tragedy has unfolded for us in Paris. It brings back all the feelings and the emotions that were very raw just a few months ago with the Charlie Hebdo and hyper-kasher attacks in Paris, where, again, innocent people had been targeted and killed in hyper-kasher simply because they were Jews. It's a world where there is much evil. And in fact, we can see what Rav Shaul is talking about in Romans chapter 1, where he comes to the end of his catalog of the sins of mankind and says that there are those who not only do these things, but there are others who approve of those who do them. And we know that there are those around this world who approve of this kind of terrorism, this taking of innocent life, this kind of evil. In Israel, a meme, as they are called on the web, is going around, and it says, for the Americans, it's 9/11. For the French, it's 13/11, 13th of November. And for Israel, it's 24/7. The Israelis have to deal with the threat of terror day in and day out. It's a terrible, evil world that we live in. And Rav Shaul has detailed it. He's pointed out to us the evil of mankind. And you have to ask, why is he talking to the Romans about all the evil of mankind? What is his purpose? And I think we're going to see over the next few verses as we look at Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, that in the midst of all the evil of mankind, God is a righteous and true God. God is fair. God is a God who reaches out his hands to those who are broken by the evil of this world. Because we could very well turn and look at all the evil in the world today and say, how can God allow these things? And God, who is a righteous God, is not the author of this kind of evil. Clearly, it is the evil of mankind that God is seeking to address with such compassion that he should send his only begotten Son to provide for us good news so that Rav Shaul could say, I am not ashamed of this good news, this gospel of the Messiah. So let's read Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Rav Shaul writes to a congregation of Jews and Greeks. Romans had adopted much of Greek culture. It was, in a sense, theirs now. They had conquered Greece long ago. They had absorbed the wisdom of the Greeks. They followed along with it. They had adopted many of the ideas of the Greeks about governance. And it was part of what made their empire great, is because they had a very advanced model of management and government that enabled them to govern a massive area from Spain to Iran. And Rav Shaul writes to the people at the heart of this massive, powerful, financially great empire, and he addresses the sin of the world. They were at the center of a place where judgment was executed. When you went to Rome, you were going to be judged. In fact, Rav Shaul himself would experience this personally at least once, we believe two times, going to Rome as a prisoner to be judged. And scholars tell us that the first time he was freed and the second time he was judged guilty and was executed in Rome. And so here we are in Romans chapter 2, and Rav Shaul has spoken about the evil that is out there in the world, and he's speaking to these people who know about justice, they know about judgment. There is a system. It's not as good as our system today, but our system isn't perfect either. We all know that, and their system was not perfect. It was the place of justice. And after talking about all of the sins that we fall into in this world, he brings it home to them. And he's going to talk about the contrast between them as judges and God as the ultimate judge who does right, the one whom we can put faith in. Because this is a big issue for the Romans, just as it is for us today. Today there are many issues we would want to judge on. We in the Messianic movement have a lot of issues that are nipping at our heels that we are constantly dealing with, so that our teachings might be pure, that they might be true, and that they might be right. There are some who teach two house doctrines that would teach that the church is Ephraim and the Jews are Judah, and basically confuse the teachings of the scripture. There are others who would try and teach that we are all under the law, even today, and that at the very least it would do Gentiles good to go under the law, to follow the Torah. There are others who get very tied up on the sacred name of God or the sacred name of Yeshua, and they often mispronounce and change the spelling of Yeshua in a way that mystifies scholars because there's no basis for it. But nevertheless, strange ideas come in. There are others who claim to be Jewish or not and are not. In England, we have a whole kind of denomination of Messianic Jews who are, in some cases, self-converting to Judaism and saying we are now Jews because we've decided to be Jews. I think Paul would have been very upset by this, Rav Shaul, and would have spoken out against it. There are those who are false prophets in our Messianic movement. There are those who misconstrue us as a Seventh-day movement, whereas, in fact, we have no quarrel with those who would worship on Sunday. It is just that we as Jews know that this is the day that God gave us to worship, and we are wonderfully blessed by those who worship with us and are part of our Messianic congregation. And the list goes on. There are things and issues where we need to judge. There are things where we need to have critical discernment. But that's not what Rav Shaul is speaking about here. He is speaking about the self-righteousness that can so easily creep into our lives, that can permeate our being, that can cause us to look at other people and say, what you are doing is not right, while at the same time not seeing that we too are guilty of the very same things. That's why Rav Shaul, in his list of sins in the previous chapter, has included things that are common to all of us. For all of us have been conceited at times. All of us have been boastful at times. All of us have cheated at times to one degree or another. And the list goes on. Rav Shaul has included these things along with those things such as murder and things along that line. We are told here that we all need to remember that we are sinners. All of us are dependent on the righteousness of God. All of us are dependent on the righteous judge. Now, my parents named me Danielle and took me years to figure out. You know, I like that name. And one of the reasons I like that name is it says, God is my judge. So I'm pleased with the name. Because who else do you want to be your judge? You certainly don't want your neighbor to be your judge. You want the one who is true and fair and righteous. We are all sinners. None of us is without, or none of us really has a excuse. The judgment of God, as Rav Shaul says, rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things, and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? You know, this has a tremendous implication for us that can relieve us of a great burden. One of the clear things here is that other people's misbehavior, other people's sins, it's their misbehavior, it's their sins, it's not ours. It is God who will judge. We do not need to judge one another, because God will judge. Certainly, there are issues within a congregation that need dealing with. There is discernment that needs to be there. But we don't need to put ourselves in the place of judges. In fact, when we deal with other people and we see that other people sin, and sometimes they sin against us, sometimes people do things that offend us for one reason or another, or they even do things to us, and we get upset, and maybe rightly so, maybe we get upset, but we are relieved of the burden of trying to set it straight. We don't need to try and set the whole world to rights, because God is the righteous judge. And we too, when we look up at ourselves, we can give grace to one another and say, you know, I may not feel that this situation is right. What this person did to me is right. I may not feel that way. But I know that I too have done things that are wrong. I know that I too have offended others over my lifetime, more than likely over the last 5 or 10 minutes. You know how we are as people. We ourselves have transgressed. And when we understand that, Rav Shaul wants us to understand that, we are relieved of a burden of trying to set everything right. And we are given the opportunity to extend grace to each other and to love one another and to show God's graciousness to one another. In fact, Rav Shaul puts it very, very sternly. He says, do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? And there he brings that into the equation. God is good. God is kind. God is forbearing. And we know these things. And so we can let God be kind and good and forbearing to others that we know. We can let his love flow through us. It's also Rav Shaul beginning to bring in a theme that will come out later in the book of Romans, because later on he is going to say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Rav Shaul is beginning to broach that subject with a church where there is kind of a tendency to tolerate sin and presume upon God's goodness, his kindness, forbearance, and patience. But he reminds us that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. And he warns us that because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's judgment will be revealed. We cannot judge one another. We need to have forbearance and love for one another. It doesn't mean that we are not to exhort one another to good works, to righteousness, as Rav Shaul says. It doesn't mean that we don't confront situations within our congregation, within our families, and within our communities. These things need to be dealt with rightly. But there's very importantly an attitude of heart that is at stake. When we think that we are righteous and the other person is unrighteous, we have it all wrong. Because Rav Shaul tells us, as the Lord guides him and as he writes, that we are all sinners. That all of us ultimately stand before the same true and righteous judge, the God who will judge all men. God's judgment is based on truth. If we were to turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, we read this encouraging scripture, God cannot tell lies. And so his promises and vows are two things that can never be changed. God is a God of truth. We know that we can trust him implicitly. When he says, you are mine, as he says to us when we turn to him in faith, we are his. We are then in his hand, and we can trust him implicitly. We can rejoice in that, regardless of how worthy we might feel of his love and of his favor. The world might judge us, but God is ultimately our judge. He has given us his word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says his word is sharper than any double-edged sword. His word can cut through our spirits and souls and through our joints and marrow. He separates those and he discerns the desires and thoughts of our hearts. God is a true judge. His word is true. He is fair and he is right. The Roman believers are facing a lot of troubles. As we said before, the Jews were expelled from Rome, at least a good number of them, and now the church, the congregation in Rome, is having to reabsorb its Jewish members, and there's difficulties and issues and problems that have arisen. And in the midst of that, where there is maybe recrimination going on and accusations happening between the different believers in the congregation, in the midst of that, we know that God is true, that he cannot tell a lie. We know that his word is the right standard by which we are judged. God's judgment is merciful, and we must be merciful also. And there is no doubt that one day God will judge. One day things will be put to right. And to put that into today's news, of course, we know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And people will not be killing each other in the name of God, but in fact bringing dishonor to his name. In verses 6 to 8, we see God as the impartial judge in that he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and immortality, he gives eternal life. And those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and fury. And he brings us to the point where we realize that actually our deeds, what we do in this life, will be rewarded. As Yeshua said, that which a person sows, that will they also reap. It's a very important principle that we see throughout Scripture that reminds us of the righteousness and the justice of God. We can thank God and we can praise him because of the righteousness of the Son, because in reality, we are spared in many respects of the true and righteous judgment of God, because Yeshua has borne it all for us. And nevertheless, God speaks to us and God reminds us that there is a consequence in this life for our behavior. And Rav Shaul is pointing that out to these people in Rome. He's saying, do you want to experience God's blessing? Then live in a way that will bring that blessing upon you. So let us be patient in doing well, in doing good, because that will be rewarded. And God will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. This is the first part of actually a four-part poetic device of Paul. First he tells us about those who do good and the blessing that will come upon them. And then he talks about those who do evil and the wrath and fury that will come upon them. But now we are told how this relates to the situation in Rome with the Jews and the Greeks. And we see that Romans chapter 1 verse 16 that brings up the Jew and the Greek in terms of salvation. Salvation coming first to the Jews and to the Greeks, now is unfolded even more. And now we realize that this entire section where Paul has taught us about the consequences of sin actually is part of his argument about the Jews and the Greeks in Rome. So, having told us about those who do evil and the consequences of that, now he turns to the Jews and the Greeks. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. And then just as he had spoken at the beginning of this almost poem, he speaks to us not only about those who do good, but we see in verse 10, glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And we see that in the midst of it, God is fair. And this is the conclusion of his entire passage, that God shows no partiality. Those in Rome have probably been wondering right at the beginning when Rav Shaul says, the gospel is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. They've probably been wondering where this is going. But then Rav Shaul has brought them back to the big picture of the sin in mankind. He's shown that whether we are Jews or Greeks, we are all sinners. We are all dependent upon the goodness, the righteousness of God, his mercy and his kindness. And then he brings it back down. And he says, there is nevertheless an order. Tribulation and distress for everyone who does evil, the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. And we Jewish people have received, in a sense, much blessing. Rav Shaul is going to explain more about that as the book of Romans unfolds. We've received a lot in that the scriptures were committed to us, in that Messiah came through our own people. Yeshua said, I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He spent his life speaking and preaching to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He gave his life upon a cross in Jerusalem, just outside the city walls, with a sign above him that said, the King of the Jews. We have a lot to be grateful for before God. And God says, to whom much has been given, much will be required. And here we are as Jews, and we are reminded that there is a natural responsibility that goes along with this. God is a fair God. And to those whom much has been given to, much is required. There will also be, for those who are faithful, great blessing. Glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. He doesn't say that there will be more glory and honor and peace to the Jew than the Greek. That's not the point. In fact, we will all be blessed beyond measure. There will be no need to compare. And there's no hint here that Jews will be more blessed than Greeks. But nevertheless, there's a system of priority here. Those to whom the good news came are responsible to turn to God and to receive his blessing. For God shows no priority, no partiality. God is faithful to his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. At the very beginning, God said to Abraham, "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And that has never changed because God is faithful and true to his word. God has set Israel even today to be a blessing to the world. And it is still today true that those who bless Israel will be blessed. God is faithful to that covenant, but it is ultimately for the blessing of all the nations to recognize this, so that all might receive that full blessing from the impartial God. And so we have a passage here that might be in some ways quite difficult, because we see in it a lot about the judgment of God. We see a lot about the consequences of sin. We are reminded not to judge one another. As Rav Shaul speaks to us, and as the scriptures speak to us and remind us, that we are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But in the midst of it, we see that God is a faithful, fair God, that he is true. He shows no partiality. And so it is a wonderful blessing for each one of us to put ourselves and our relationship to him and our relationship to one another in his hands, rather than taking up the cudgels to deal with every situation ourselves, so that we might become the judges of others. We can thank God that he has relieved us of that burden. And he has said, "I will be the judge, and I will deal with the situation." As the book of Romans says later on, we are reminded not to take vengeance, because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He is a fair, impartial God. Avinu Sheva Shamayim, we thank you for Yeshua, who is ultimately our judge. We thank you that one day we will stand before his throne, and we will kneel before him and cast our crowns before him. And we thank you that our judge is also our redeemer. We thank you for that. And we thank you also that because you are judge, because your son Yeshua is our judge, that we do not need to be the judges of those around us. We thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.